Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for coming by tonight. Tonight is Friday, and normally on Friday night, I do kind of a recap on everything that we talked about through the week. This week was kind of an interesting week in the news. There was a lot of stuff going on. So a lot of things we talked about had to do with the news, the different stories that are out there, the news about Hannah Anderson and the kidnapping and the death of her mom and her little brother and that big ordeal. Let me say that this morning on the Today Show, there was a brief interview with Hannah stating the fact that she realized that some people don't believe her, that she feels that a lot of people are making more out of this than what she has explained. And she denied that she had anything to do with this, that she knew anything about it, or that she was aware of any kind of underlying reason as to why DiMaggio would have done what he did to her mother and to her little brother. However, there's still a lot of speculation out there. And the reason there's speculation is obvious. Normally, when something happens, especially something as brazen as this, two people being found dead in a house that's set on fire and a man taking off with a 16-year-old, supposedly against her will, which it very well may have been, but everything isn't coming together. And usually when everything doesn't come together, there's a reason for that. So whether or not this poor young woman is guilty of something, I wouldn't even begin to guess. But I do see why there's so much speculation, and that is because, you know, things aren't just, they're just not making sense. Then there's the money deal, I think it was $112,000, something like that, was in an account from DiMaggio's job. And it went to Hannah's grandmother, who DiMaggio had lived with for 2 years before he bought this house that he just set on fire. So, again, lots of weird stuff, lots of things that don't make much sense. But I'm sure as time goes on, things will fall together because loosely put together stories seem to unravel rather quickly when they're under a lot of scrutiny. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Let's hope that everything will be all right for this young woman. And let's hope that everything works out in a way that doesn't hurt anybody else. I would say enough people have been hurt. Then, of course, there was the fact that we talked about 501c3s, not-for-profits, tax exemptions, all those kind of things, because it comes to me a lot because of what I used to do for a living. It was a not-for-profit institute, and a lot of the things out there that I'm interested in would be a non-profit situation. And as I explained the other night, I'm not talking about the fact that I wouldn't make a paycheck. Eventually, I would hope that I did indeed make a paycheck. But a not-for-profit means that you get tax breaks. People can give you contributions, and you can have many benefactors who are a part of your not-for-profit, and they would receive receipts that they could use against their own taxes. So there's a lot of controversy about what is and what isn't. And, of course, I talked about the Catholic Church, which everybody says is the richest not-for-profit organization in the world, and indeed it appears to be. Anybody who watched the movies with Tom Hanks, when they showed the vaults in the first movie, they showed the vaults where all the artifacts, all the hundreds of years old artifacts were kept, and those alone are worth a small fortune. So I guess it's probably true. But on the other hand, most of the people that reside with the church live there and dedicate their entire life to the church. So moving on with that, we talked about some of the smaller rescues, pet rescues. Shelley mentioned the fact that she had a 501c3, which was for a ferret rescue, where she had 125 ferrets when I very first met her, and dogs and cats. And she still has several dogs and a few cats. The ferrets are all gone because it got to be too much work for her. She was lucky that she had partnered with a couple other rescues, and they were happy to help her with the remaining ferrets that she had when her life became so busy at her job. So we talked about that. We talked about the Good Earth Farm, which is a very, very good friend of ours that lives out here in Loxahatchee, and she takes in horses. And remember, when you take care of any living thing, it's an expensive venture. And horses are incredibly expensive to take care of. They have a lot of medical bills because they have things that need to be done for them on a regular basis, their shoes and things like that. And it's an expensive thing to do. And feeding, I mentioned the other night, all horses do pretty much is eat and poop. So it's constant. And if they eat the wrong thing or pick something up in the yard, or if somebody, God forbid, leaves a piece of plastic or something, just like what's happening to our sea life, horses get incredibly ill if they try to digest something like a piece of plastic or something that they can pick up in off the ground that a child or even an adult might drop. So very expensive, and she runs that, and many places here in Palm Beach County have brought her horses who have been incredibly abused. I will never for the life of me understand how anyone can hurt something else that lives and breathes, and I don't get it. But it happens a lot, people. A lot. One of the things that I didn't mention the other night was at Hippocrates we had a lot of raccoons, and it was nothing for me to have a family of baby raccoons that we had to do something with. And through trial and error, I found a lady who would come and pick up baby raccoons and raise them. And she kept them safe and fed them and everything until they were old enough to forage for themselves. But she ran, she didn't take grown raccoons because often they're very unpredictable. But many times you could come in my office and there would be a baby raccoon wrapped in a towel underneath one of my lights to keep warm. And I would feed the baby raccoon almond milk until the young woman would come to take the baby back with her. So these are all not-for-profit organizations, and a 501c3 is difficult to get. A lot of paperwork, a lot of planning, and a lot of answers have to be delivered. As I mentioned, I really wanted very badly to have a place called Grandma's House, and I wanted it to be a safe haven for kids. Not a place to live forever, but a place where they could come if they just needed to for a couple days. Instead of running away from home and getting in trouble, having a real grandma. Somebody where they could come and spend the night, get something hot to eat, maybe wash their clothes and have a shower, and then hopefully go back home where they belonged. But a lot of times, if there's a problem at home, nobody takes care of that 15-year-old. They expect that 15-year-old to fend for themselves. It's not unusual here in the state of Florida to have mom and dad both be arrested for an altercation that takes place in the home. And if the child isn't a part of it, or if the child isn't there and they come home, nobody's there. And I've heard stories from teachers in particular about kids that come home and there's no power on, mom and dad are MIA. So it was my dream to find an old house that I could rent and fix up and have volunteers help me and keep a safe place for these kids to come while they were betwixt and between. And a lot of kids also that are in the foster system, albeit the Florida foster system is better than a lot of them that are out there. Kids have to toe the line. If they toe the line, they're pretty safe. They even get college paid for in a lot of cases, but they have to maintain a certain grade point average, and they have to, you know, they have to do what they're supposed to do. And sometimes if they're a lost teenager who's wondering how they ended up where they are, they're not always running on all their spark plugs, if you know what I mean, and they get, you know, on the wrong path. So, and I see so much of that here in Florida that I was hoping I could help. But the first time somebody presented me with all the papers for a 501c3, I was like, I can't even answer these because I don't know how I'm going to make it work. I just know I want to make it work, and I will do everything I can, but I couldn't put everything in black and white. And without everything in black and white, nobody wanted to talk to me about realizing the nonprofit status. So that's what brought me to doing the radio show. I thought with this radio show, I didn't have to depend on anyone else. I was able to sign up with Blog Talk Radio and be able to talk to people and have a forum, if you will, where people can tell me things and let me discuss them or talk about them to set some people's minds at ease. I don't get a lot of callers. In the beginning, I got quite a few. Most of them were people that knew me. I do have a lot of listeners, though. And I think if somebody really has a problem, they contact me personally or they contact me on Facebook and mention the fact that they would like to hear something about, you know, what's on their mind at that point in time. That's how I come up with some of the things that we talk about. I try to cover all of the current affairs and issues that are going on out there. And I also like to keep everybody abreast of what's going on in the world of bullying. What I have learned in talking about bullying, I guess I knew a lot of this already, but what I really learned about it is that most bullies don't know that they are the bully. Most bullies are fighting back because of something that has happened to them. And if you were to question them privately, they would tell you they were the victim. And Izzy Kalman has kind of taught me that, although he agrees that there are some kids that are just kind of angry to begin with and didn't get the right kind of coaching and supervision. And his idea, of course, is the golden rule. And that was one of the other things that we talked about this week. We talked about the organization that survived for many years, and there's a book written about it called Ancient Futures. And it's about a group of people who follow the golden rule. And Shelley and I talked about that at length the other night, and albeit that it sounds wonderful and it sounds like the Garden of Eden, if you will, I mentioned, because I always try to think of what somebody who's confused might say when we talk about some of these things. And the truth of the matter is, I think most of us would have a lot of difficulty giving up a lot of our material belongings. Even if we don't have a lot, if we're not wealthy and can't just do whatever we feel like doing, whenever we feel like doing it, we live in a world of material things. If you'd have told my grandma and grandpa, as I said, I'm almost 65. My grandma and grandpa would be, if they were still alive, would be in their hundreds. They would say, what do you mean you have five TVs in your house? What on earth would you need five televisions for? And why do you have a phone that you take everywhere with you? And, oh, my God, you can put your name into the computer and it tells you where you live, who you are, what you did, what you didn't do. They'd be blown away by all of that. And we've come to know all of these material things as a part of our life. So Shelley said to me, and she's still reading this book, and I intend to read this book as well, but she says that you don't have to go without your material things, but what you do is you're more conscious of who has and who doesn't have. And if you have, you share. And if you don't have, you don't have to beg or steal or do something illegal to have it. You just have to say, you know, we don't have a TV at my house, or I don't have enough money for this. And the people that live this particular golden rule lifestyle make sure that's just not true of anyone. Consequently, that does away with one of our biggest evils, and that's jealousy. Jealousy today is way, way, way out of control. And very often, the crime and the things that we witness happening every day stem from people being jealous because somebody has more than they do. So a very interesting concept, and done the right way would be perfect. Izzy always tells me that I'll never make the world like that, and I laugh and say, well, that doesn't mean I can't think about it or dream about it. And he goes, no, I guess you can, but we're just human beings and we all have flaws, and I understand that and I agree with that. But I also think the more we talk about it and the more we realize that things could be just so, so, so much better if we would let go. A lot of anger would subside. Things could get a lot, lot better and put everybody in a much happier, more conducive space. So we talked about all of that, and then Izzy joined us late and just listened to us talking about the Ancient Futures book and these people. And then, of course, last night when we talked about Hannah Anderson, I also talked about the Bradley Manning story. And I didn't stop talking about that last night. I woke up this morning thinking about it. I am appalled by this whole story. And again, I get my information from the computer, so I always have to take everything I read with a grain of salt. However, even if this is a little bit true, this just blows me away. A 25-year-old man turns over 700,000 pieces of paper, video, reports, all kinds of information like that, and commits treason. And he is sentenced very recently to 35 years for this act of treason in military prison. Well, this week he announced to anyone who wanted to listen that he wanted to be a woman, that he didn't want to be a man, and he thinks that he should be, that the military should help him pay to have that accomplished. And the feedback is that the day that he turned all of this information over to WikiLeaks, which is an organization that destroys government, that he went off the deep end. Even though we'd always felt that he was a woman trapped in a man's body, he went into the service. Every picture I've seen of him, he's covered with medals. He took a job with all this responsibility at a very, very, very young age, and apparently just went off the deep end. So when I first started reading this, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way in hell somebody's going to allow this to happen. So guess what I find out? I find out that a few years ago, there's a convicted murderer in a prison who is put in a prison with men, and he also believed that he should have been born a woman. And mind you, people, I have respect for this because I know this happens. I've met people like this. I've counseled and talked to people like this. I'm not disputing the fact that both of these men feel that way. What I am disputing is how they've managed it. So a convicted murderer goes to court on an appeal or something, it doesn't go into detail on that, and convinces the judge that he didn't have his rights, that he wasn't treated like an American citizen, and the judge deemed that the prison officials, where they incarcerated him in an all-male prison, should have to pay for him to become a woman. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm just, have any of you ever been at a veterans hospital? I lost my brother a few years ago. He was a CB in the Navy. He died when he was only 46 years old. He had cancer in his mouth, and it was a horrific death. They took his jaw out. They took part of his tibia and broke it into pieces to make him a jawbone, a mandible. The cancer didn't go away. If I told you some of the things that I would have to do to help him maintain, you would be heart sick and stomach sick for days. But while I was helping my brother and taking care of him, I had reason to be at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Miami first. And there are men that have lived there who are way up in years since World War II because they were hurt so badly and had no place to go. So that's where they live. There was a man there who had his torso and his head and went around on this piece of equipment that they designed for him so that he could make it go forward and backward and turn and everything with his chin. There are people that are missing, you know, arms, legs, feet, people that will never leave the VA. Then up here in Palm Beach, as my brother progressed and we came up here for some more surgeries after the first three didn't work and they did some repair surgeries up here in Palm Beach, I had reason to be days at a time at the VA hospital up here, and the same thing. And yes, their service, their military service, is the reason they can stay in the VA hospital. But only to maintain the life that they're left with. Nobody's doing any extensive surgery to give them back limbs and things like that unless, you know, unless there's really something special going on and their family fights for them and they have lots of people pulling for them and people do benefits for them to help raise money and things happen. But to think that this young man, who, believe it or not, I have some empathy for, can actually walk into a courtroom and say, look, it's your fault that I gave away all that, all those secrets and everything, because I really wanted to be a woman. And I sent a picture of myself dressed in drag to one of my superior officers, and he ignored it. Well, maybe he thought he was helping you, first of all. Maybe he thought that you would be ridiculed and you'd have to leave the only life you knew from when you're like 21 years old. I don't know, because they didn't show anything about an interview with him or them. And all I know is that there's something about that that just doesn't sound right or fair or even in the ballpark to me. So that's where we left off with most of the things that we talked about this week. And I think that some of these stories are going to change and evolve over the next few days. However, I did want to make mention, only because I think that it's only fair when some of these people get noticed and paid attention to, that it's important that I mentioned a gentleman, 89-year-old man. He was in World War II and the Battle of Okinawa. His name was Delbert Belton, and he was living in Washington, Spokane, Washington. And apparently he was in a parking lot by the Eagles Lodge. And the way the story reads is, in Spokane, Washington, on Wednesday night, according to local reports, World War II veteran and Battle of Okinawa survivor was beaten by two African-American teenagers described as between the ages of 16 and 19. Mr. Belton passed away Thursday morning of head injuries. Belton, 89, was shot in the leg at Okinawa. He was confronted in the parking lot of the Eagles Lodge adjacent to the Eagles Ice Arena when the two suspects jumped him, beat him, and left him to die. One is described as heavy and wearing black clothing, and the other is described as 6 feet tall and 150 pounds, wearing a silk do-rag. I believe that's the kerchief that people tie around their heads to keep their hair out of their face or to keep from sweating on their face. But that's another incredibly senseless act of violence. Why would anybody want to do that? And where would be the challenge of beating up an 89-year-old man? So my heart goes out to Mr. Belton, and it's very possible that at 89 years old he may not even have any family anymore. They don't mention anything about it, but they also don't say he is survived by so and so. So I find that to be heartbreaking and senseless. But it goes along with a lot of all the other news that we're hearing. We have to really work on getting ourselves to a better place. Which brings me to just that. As most of you know, I started this radio show in February, and I've never done this before. But I thought it would be therapeutic for me, and I thought it would open some doors for some people who are sitting home alone and just like to interact, and even if they don't ever speak, to have opinions and hear conversation. I know a lot of people watch a lot of the television shows that are on now. If you watch daytime TV, there's at least a dozen shows on that are just people talking about current affairs and what have you. Albeit most of them are very popular people, movie stars or authors or newscasters, and they're not nobodies like myself, but I do think that for some people, the only conversation they ever hear is either going into a restaurant or listening to radio or television. So I thought it was my way to enlighten all of us about what's going on out there and maybe discuss some of the things we can do to make this world a better place. I don't believe that anybody lives here on this planet doesn't want it to be safer, kinder, more forgiving, more everything, all the things that float your boat, all the things that keep you copacetic, as my mom used to say. And there's a way to get there. And, of course, you have to start with the man in the mirror. One night I recited all the words to Michael Jackson's The Man in the Mirror. And he was so far before his time. And that song says it all. You can't do a damn thing about anybody else. You can't fix your husband. You can't fix your wife. You can't fix your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, even your children, even the babies that you bring into this world that grow in your body. You can't change them. You can change their pants lots of times, and you can change the way they do things in the very beginning, but you can't change them. Only person you can change is you. And until we all get that and quit blaming other people for our unhappiness or our problems or our discontent, nothing will change. You must change yourself. You must work on making you the kind of person that you want everybody that you interact with to be. That's what the golden rule is. Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat them exactly the way you want them to treat you. And be the person that you'd like to be best friends with. Be the person that you'd like to love and spend your life with. If you're not, then you're not participating in making this world the kind of place we want it to be. In doing that and stepping into that place, you open up doors for yourself that you didn't even know were in the room. So that brings me to this, and that is the fact that, as most of you know, I have a lot of teenagers that live here with me, and my husband and my oldest son and his oldest son and his next son and two other grandchildren and my daughter and one of my grandson's girlfriends. We all live here together. And it's fine. We're good. We all get on together very well. And most of the time I have other kids and their families here. I'm a gatherer. A lot of people refer to me as a mother hen. I don't think of myself that way. But I do like to know where the people I care about are, so I guess I am a gatherer. But it's become very hectic for me in the evening. And I love doing the show. And I hope that even if all I'm doing is helping a couple people, that's all right with me. But I decided that school's back in session. Everybody is incredibly busy. My audience has declined a little bit. My best times for the show were March and April. And then we went back up a little bit, and now we're back down again. And I'm thinking that it's a hectic time for other people, too, to be able to sit and listen to something like this at 7 o'clock in the evening. So as of Monday, my show will be on at 7 a.m., Monday through Friday. And I hope that that means those of you who enjoy listening can listen on your way to work or while you're having your morning coffee. And if you don't all understand how easy it is to do this without a computer, you can just dial the number and talk on your cell phone on your way to work. You can dial the number on your house phone and listen to the show that way. Or you can get into your laptop or into your Android phone or an iPad, any of those kind of things, and get on Blog Talk Radio and listen to Renee's Heart to Heart. If you dial in the number, which is 347-989-0352, then you have the opportunity to listen live. And also, if you click on the number 1 on your phone or your whatever device you're using, you can speak and have a conversation with myself and anyone else who's on the show. So I'm going to keep reminding everybody of that. I was told the other day that I don't explain to people enough how they can listen if they catch it on Facebook or if they catch it because they Google Blog Talk Radio and just catch it accidentally. That's how some of them find out about it. But I have a lot of people out there that through the last 15, 20 years, I've had a lot of conversations with. And I'd really like it if they could hear what I'm doing and enter into it, because I think it's good for all of us to be a part of the solution and not such a big part of the problem. So, as well as that change, I would like to mention something else, and that is the fact that a very good friend and associate of mine, who has been out of the state of Florida for a while doing some work, his name is Michael Berganzi. He is lovingly known as the Wheatgrass King. For those of you who don't know what wheatgrass is a very, very potent grass that is grown. And you juice it. You put it in an auger-like juicer and squeeze the juice out of it. You can use the pulp for dressings. You can use the pulp for many, many things. I've seen people cover abscesses, tumors. I've witnessed a lady rid her breast of a giant tumor by living a raw lifestyle and keeping a poultice on the tumor until her breast opened up and the tumor came out of her breast. It's an amazing part of our world, wheatgrass. And many, many years ago, an elderly lady by the name of Ann Wigmore saved her own life. She wondered why her dogs, she loved her dogs, she had been hospitalized, they kind of sent her home to die, and she wondered why her dogs ate grass whenever they didn't feel good. And, of course, a dog masticates its food pretty good, so they get the juice from the grass. So she experimented and found that wheatgrass had the most to offer, the most nutrients, the most benefits to give to a body. So she started Hippocrates herself many, many years ago in Boston. So Michael has been helping some other people all around the world. He's been in Europe. He's been upstate New York. He's been in Connecticut. He's been in California. He worked with me at Hippocrates for 10 years, and prior to that, he was the wheatgrass grower at Optimum Health in California. He and I get on very well, and we make a pretty good team. Michael is very, very good at what he does. And he loves to travel and go to shows and things like that. So he came to my home today and he said, I think it's time that we did something together. So we talked for about 5 hours and we decided he's had some people offer him properties and things like that to do a detox center. Not really a health institute like Hippocrates. Not a place where you go to get well and it's part medical and part nutrition. This would be purely to help you detox. Not something that we would expect you to do for the rest of your life, but something that you could have as a standby to purify yourself on a regular basis. So we're going to try it, and I will keep everybody posted as that grows. We talked today about the fact that one of the most important parts of any kind of a health regimen or any kind of a healing place is that it has heart. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to put the heart back into healing and really care and really understand and help the people that come to see us instead of just, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever been to Canyon Ranch or places like that. They're very, very fancy, very, very expensive, and everybody gets treated like a dollar bill machine. So we don't want to do that, even though we'd need to make a living, and that's fine, but we want to be able to really help people. And if you detox 3 or 4 times a year, you rest your body. If you have a very fast-paced, not-so-healthy lifestyle, then a detox, like every 3 months, is an amazing thing for your body because you rest it. You actually give it a few days off so it doesn't have to fight so hard to maintain your life. So I will keep everybody posted about that as well. And when I'm on the air next week in the mornings, I hope all of you will join me. And as I said, you can friend me on Facebook. I post a lot of things about what we talk on the show and different things, and I'm always available on Facebook. You can instant message me. You can also message me on Blog Talk Radio. You can get into Blog Talk Radio and say that you want to leave a message for Renee Brewer at Renee's Heart to Heart, and I will get that message as well. And if you have a topic that you'd like me to discuss, by all means, I will research, I will find out anything you need me to find out. If I can't, I will find somebody who can. And we will discuss whatever you've got going on in your life to help bring you to a better place. So I'm going to sign off a little bit early tonight. I did have a lot of stuff to tell you, and I think I've covered everything. I do want to thank everybody for the last several months of the evening show and hope that all of you stay with me and maybe bring some more friends on board. And maybe 7 o'clock in the morning will be a better time for a lot of you. And if it isn't, you realize that you can click on my Facebook page on the show where I say I'm doing a show right now. You can click on that anytime and hear whatever we talked about and listen to it because it's recorded on my Facebook page. So I want to thank you all. I want to tell you that no matter what your problems are, if you face them and don't hide from them and do the very best you can, chances are you'll overcome them. We're amazing. Human beings are amazing. And we have the ability to do almost anything we want to do. So don't give up the ship. Be proud of who you are and what you can do. And know that you have gifts that you probably have never even tapped into until you start paying attention to them. But remember, the only person you can really change is yourself. So work on that. Hopefully, I will be talking to you on Monday morning at 7 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. So for tonight, everybody, good night and God bless.